Well, I'm grateful to get to preach to you this morning, and I'd like for you, if you would, to turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, and sometimes we get the wrong impression about the Old Testament, thinking that it was for the Jews and the New Testament for everybody else. God always had a world view, but I want you to turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55, if you would. We'll look at the first 9 verses as you find your place in Isaiah 55. I did hear this story about this young lady. She was in her hometown, and she was watching there, their little town. There was a funeral procession coming through, and there was a black hearse up front. Strangely enough, there was an older lady. She had a pit bull with a chain right behind the hearse. And then right behind her was another black hearse. And then, strangely enough, there's a big line of people, a big line of ladies, just single file, right behind that second hearse, 200 of them or so, just lined up, just going down through the street. And that young lady thought, I just can't go on without finding what's going on. Well, they were going at a slow pace, so she just walked up to the lady that had the pit bull in between the hearses, and she said, ma'am, I'm sorry to bother you. You're obviously grieving, but what's going on? I just can't, my curiosity won't let me not ask you. And she said, well, that's fine. My husband is in this first hearse up here, and he passed. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. And said, well, he's in the front hearse. And then this pit bull, my beloved dog, she found out that my dog found out that he had a girlfriend, and so my pit bull killed him. And so killed him. And then behind me is the lady, and she also met the same end as my husband. And that's who's in the hearse behind me. And that lady said, oh my goodness. She said, would I be able to borrow that dog? And then the old lady said, get in line. So, in Isaiah, on to something spiritual. The Bible says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye. Buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delighteth itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I want to preach just for a little while about come to the waters. That's what it says in verse number 1. He that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Now, I think about this when there's a universal invitation that just says, everybody, come. I'm thinking about this if you think about my mamaw, my grandmother, everything that I would tell you will conjure up the image of a little, used to be gravel road. They've tarred and chipped it by now, but used to be a little gravel road and a little wide driveway that went up to her house. And there was 2 maple trees in front of her house, and on the front of that little white farmhouse as a little porch, and at the end of that porch was a swing, and she'd sit out there, and she would wait for everybody. She'd see people go down. Back in the day, everybody that came down the road, she knew, so much so that if there was a car that came down the road she didn't know, she'd be on the party line, find out who's going down that road. You know, it's just, that's the type of place that my mamaw lived. But anytime somebody come up, she'd, well, y'all come on up, and we'll sit for a while, and we'll talk. There's that universal invitation, y'all, come on. Now, you know, there's all, that's just short for all of you all, and there's possessive ways to say that, you know, y'alls, and you can say all y'all, that's a big group. If you come from where my mom came from, it'd be Yunzes, y'all, come on, Yunzes, get in here. And so it's just a way to say everybody. If you're from other parts of the country, you guys, hey, you guys, come on up here. You know, just however you say, everybody come. Well, we see this invitation that's given to everybody. The Bible says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye. Buy and eat. Well, how do we buy? You don't have any money. Well, you don't need the money because it says you come. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. If I could today, I'd like to bring this passage to in the proper way. You understand it's to the unsaved, to give this universal invitation that the Messiah says, come. As I mentioned already, as we opened up, sometimes we think the Old Testament was talking to the Jewish people, and then the New Testament brings it wide open to the whole world. And although that is true, it's open to the whole world. But even back in Genesis, when God was talking to Abraham, he said, Abraham, through you, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. God's always had a goal to get the message to the world. It wasn't that, as some would think, that, well, it went to the Jews, and then they denied him and they rejected him, and then it went to everybody else. That is true. That's the way it happened. But God was always interested in the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so we see this universal invitation. And so I'd like to preach for a little while about that. I want you to see, first of all, that everyone is invited. In verse number one, it says, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. I think about this. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor. I think about my sister-in-law, my wife's niece, and her husband and their son are here with us today. Well, on that side of the family, I've got a sister-in-law that whenever it's a birthday party, she doesn't buy gifts for the birthday person, the birthday boy or girl. She buys presents for all the kids so that everybody can have something, whatever the toy is, that they can have something for that. And Aunt Milo wants to make sure that everybody gets a little bit and nobody feels left out. Well, in that way, I think of the scripture here where it says, everyone that thirsteth. I say to the sinner, somebody that's listening today or somebody's in this audience, if you know your need of a Savior and you don't know Christ, though, for the forgiveness of your sins, this invitation is for you to come and come to Christ and realize that he's the Savior. I'm saying that everyone is invited, this universal invitation that everybody can come. I want you to see also, though, that he that hath no money, there's no position needed. There's no status in life that's required. No money. Come ye, buy and eat. Buy wine and milk. And I see not only is there the water of life. Jesus said that he is that water, that living water. But it's not only that water that gives the thirst, breaks the thirst rather, but it's also that wine that represents joy, and that milk represents substance into your body and into your life. And so when Jesus says everybody can come, not only does it bring you the break from thirst, but it also gives that nourishment and gives that joy. I say even to those that are saved, to those of us who know the Lord, if you're dry and thirsty in this life because you've been trying to live a life that is you-powered, meaning that you're the one that's trying to make it all happen, that's a frustrating way to live. Because the gospel didn't stop when you got saved and you came to Jesus Christ and you got your sins forgiven. God didn't say, okay, now I did that part, now the rest is up to you. The gospel keeps on working in your life. The gospel continues as you go by day, by day, by day. Not only could I get salvation at the beginning, I can't keep it today. I won't be able to keep it tomorrow. And the day after that's not looking good either. Because I need him. And sometimes we've erroneously got this idea that you came to faith in Jesus Christ and that's how salvation came into your life and in your heart. But then you've got to cross some T's or dot some I's. My friend, if you try to live the Christian life in your own power, you will be a frustrated individual and you'll probably be annoying and obnoxious to people around you, because every time that you get yourself to a spot where you're proud of how you're doing, you'll make sure other people know it. I'm saying this morning that everyone is invited, but not only that, you got to realize that it's an invitation to everybody, but it's an invitation to the thirsty. Let me explain what I mean by that. Everyone that thirsteth. There are people in this world right now, in our nation, right in our area, that they're not thirsty for the Lord. They are trying to fill their life with everything that they can come up with. They are not seeking the Lord. They're not wanting his salvation. They're not wanting what he can do. And as long as you keep full of all the things of the world, my friend, you won't see your need of Jesus Christ as your Savior. I mentioned already in our song service, but God did not send his son, Jesus Christ, just to come here to make you a better husband, a better daughter, a better son, a better partner in your business, a better employee. Jesus didn't come to make you a better you. That's a wrong message that we send in American Christianity. I might add to it, God also didn't send his son to make you prosperous so that your life will be living way up here financially. If that were so, we would have a lot of explaining to do to some wonderful, sweet, dear, godly Christians in other parts of the world who don't have anything except for their faith. And so I'm saying that Jesus didn't come to make you a better you. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to die on the cross for our sins. But in order for us to take advantage of that, I have to be thirsty. Oh, everyone that's thirsteth, come ye to the waters. I remember my dad and my brothers, we would be working in the hay field, and at the break, when we take a break, Dad said, everybody's thirsty, let's stop and get a drink. And we just had a big old jug, and we'd freeze it the night before and let it kind of melt, and you just drink out of it. Everybody would get some of it. It was true that you were thirsty, but in this life, those thirsty people, there was a time in my life when I was thirsty for the Lord as well, and I wanted his salvation. I wanted his forgiveness of my sins. You've got to be thirsty. But I want you to look in verse number 2. Not only is it this universal invitation, but this satisfying, it is a satisfying invitation. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? You've been spending your living and your substance on things that don't matter. Your labor for that which satisfieth not. Verse number 3, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul, I want you to notice this phrase, your soul shall live. It's a satisfying invitation. If you're here today and you're looking for everything in life to bring you pleasure, you're looking for everything in this life that would make your life an easier place to live in, my friend, if you're looking at anywhere except for Christ, whatever you're currently seeking, it will leave you disappointed. It doesn't matter if you think it's the next greatest plan, at its end, it will leave you disappointed, but the scripture says that your soul shall live when you come to Jesus Christ. It's a satisfying invitation. God gives this everlasting covenant, the Bible says. He says, even the sure mercies of David. And behold, verse 4, I've given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. If you're saved, the scripture teaches that Jesus never leaves you nor forsakes you. He goes with you. You may veer from him. You may have times in your life when you're not as close to him as you once were, but he never leaves you nor forsake you. One person's put it like this, that I have shaken myself. I've shaken on the rock, but the rock has never shook under me. And so we understand that he never leaves us, but he gives us that ability to let our soul live, and I will make an everlasting covenant. The difficult thing as being a pastor is this, found in verse number 6 and 7, that even though I love this message of whosoever will, the invitation is only temporary. Because the Bible says in verse number 6, seek the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. There's a time when God won't deal with us as he's dealt with you at other times. I realize that somebody who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, they've been dabbling in different religious things and trying to do this and trying to do the other, but they don't know Christ as their Savior. And they have the idea that anytime I want to, I can be saved. But my friend, there will come a time when your last time to say no or yes has been dwindled away. And so the Bible says that you should call and seek the Lord while he may be found. If I could go just a hair further than that, first of all, let me tell you about Noah. You remember him, that he and his family got on the ark, and he had been a preacher of righteousness, inviting people to come and stand with him, but nobody took him up on the offer. But there was a time when the rain was starting and God shut the door of that ark. Well, there will be a time when God shuts the door of grace, and it will not be an opportunity for people to come to Christ anymore. Let me give you just a hint of application about this, though, for you that are saved. You don't have to worry about coming to Christ. You already know Christ. But can I tell you this principle? The application is still here for you, that when God moves upon you to do something, there will be a time when he doesn't do that any longer. Let me tell you what I mean by that. I've had when the Lord has nudged me, let's say, to do something. You say, how do you know it was the Lord? Well, it was a very good thing that I was thinking about doing, so I'm assuming it was coming from that direction versus the other direction. But I've pushed that desire away too many times. Be that to help somebody out, be that to go be somewhere for somebody or financially help, whatever it was. And I just explained it away. Well, Lord, what will they think? They may not need it, or this or that. Have you ever argued with God? God, you don't want me to do that. You know that's not right. You know that's not what you're doing. There have been times, though, when I have neglected what the Lord was leading me to do. And then after some time, that leading kind of slips away. And I can only assume that I missed a great opportunity to be a blessing and to have a blessing by helping somebody out. So as a point of application, interpretation means that the invitation is given to everyone, and there will be a time when you won't be able to call on him. But as a point of application to every Christian in this room, when God moves upon you and gives a little nudge, a little spiritual nudge in your life, I would challenge you to be faithful to perform what God is bringing upon your heart and your mind to do. It's a temporary invitation. Let me give you this last one in verse number 8, 9, somewhere right through there. It's also a supernatural invitation. God says in verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Verse 9, as the heavens are higher than the earth, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I won't belabor the point because I've already mentioned it, but sometimes I think that we have the opinion that God saved us, but after that he left us on our own. Now go live a good Christian life. But that's an error. He saved us, but now daily he wants to empower us and walk with us and strengthen us. And if you are trying to live this Christian life to try to do what you're supposed to do and not do what you're not supposed to do, and you're not asking the Lord to empower and help you, you are one miserable somebody. You're trying to be nice to everybody. You're trying to say yes when you should say yes. You're trying to hold your tongue when you shouldn't say something back. And you're trying to speak up when you should speak up and be quiet when you should be quiet. You're trying to be nice when people are mean to you. And that's a hard life to live if you're not letting the Lord empower you. It's a supernatural invitation. A friend of mine, Bruce Fry, who lived and played and sang in all the places around Printer's Alley up in Nashville on Broadway, not the New York one, but the one downtown Nashville. And he sang, had a great desire to be a country star, but everything that he chased left him hopeless and helpless. I heard him sing and preach the other day and was reminded about what really came down to it, a little apartment in Nashville, which was not very glorious and not very glamorous, not the life he wanted at all. But everything had slipped away. And he bowed on his knees and he asked Christ to forgive his sins and to come into his life and save him. Everything that he thought he wanted all of a sudden became unimportant. Everything that he had been searching and spending to try to get didn't matter a bit. But he came to faith in Jesus Christ. And now his life for all these years, it's been years ago when he came to faith, he's been singing, preaching, sharing about the Lord. I'm saying that God has a supernatural invitation that can do in your life what nobody else could do. So our Savior gives an invitation today. Everyone that thirsteth, Come ye to the waters. Again, I said, not only come to the waters, but also to the milk and to the wine, the joy and the sustenance of it. You've been spending your money, verse number 2, on all the things that don't matter. You, if you're saved in this room, you spent plenty of time and effort and money on things that didn't matter, and they didn't bring peace, they didn't bring satisfaction. You've been giving your labor for those things which satisfied not. But you inclined your ear, verse number 3. You came to Him, and now your soul feels alive. If you die with more money than anybody else in your family, and you don't have Christ, you'll be of all men most miserable. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? If you're here this morning and you're religious, but you don't know Christ, you need to come to Him. Verse 1, everyone that thirsteth, come. If you're here this morning and you do know Christ, you do know that your faith is firmly placed in Him for forgiveness of your sins. You do know Him, but you've been trying to live this world life, rather, in your own power, and you've been trying to do what you can do. My friend, you are wearing yourself out. Give your life to Christ to help you as you walk this Christian pathway. So to the unsaved, come to the fountain. You not only have the fountain, but you have the joy and the nutrients. But if you're saved, then, my friend, give your life again to the Lord and daily come to Him. As we close this morning, I'd like to remind you that this message is for everybody in this room, everybody listening. Jesus is the answer. One person, although I wouldn't recommend this, they scratched that into a bathroom stall somewhere at a gas station. Again, don't do that. But you'll like how it ends up. Someone came along afterwards and a smart aleck scratched in there, what's the question? Don't do that either. But if those two phrases do happen to be on there, I'd say go and do this third one. The third person, the first said, Jesus is the answer. Somebody came along, scratched, what's the question? And the third person, I like his response, doesn't matter. So, again, don't do any of those, but especially don't do the first two. But if the first two are there, we'll turn our head and you can do the third one. Because it truly doesn't matter what the question is. Everybody in this room, Jesus is the answer. If you're unsaved and you don't know where you're headed, or you do know where you're headed when this life is over, Jesus is the answer. If you do know the Lord, but your relationship, your fellowship has been not sweet and you've been far away from Him, you've been trying to live your life in your own power, Jesus is the answer. If the fellowship is sweet this morning and you did have a great time with the Lord, even today as you tried to get up and pray and seek Him and the fellowship was sweet and you're trusting the Lord in every area of your life, still Jesus is the answer for tomorrow. Do you know the scriptures indicate that what we're living, it's the Christian life. And where there's life, there's breath and there's activity, there's life. It's not the Christian position, it's the Christian life. And may each of us get up tomorrow as Christians, live that Christian life, that vibrant life that says, I need Him. As Jeremiah said, oh, it was like a fire in my bones. As it was in the New Testament, it says, I want to know every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Man should not live by bread alone. Jesus is the answer. Would you bow your heads together with me? Father, thank You for the time to be in Your house. And Lord, thank You for this great invitation to saved and unsaved alike. Lord, I pray that everyone would come to Jesus today. Some don't need to come to Him in faith for salvation because they're already saved, but they need to come to Him for their sustenance, for their fruitfulness, for their peace. Lord, I pray that whatever our need is, that You would do business with us and we would do business with You. As the ladies begin to play, when they find something there, I just love for you to See what the Lord would have you do in your life. Do you know Him? You know Him as your Savior? You're on your way to heaven? Have you been trying to live your life in your own power, though? My friend, just give it all to Him. So, Lord, I can't live this Christian life. I don't have it within me. You don't have to live it. He lives it through you. If you're a Christian, frustrated, tired, wore out, come to Jesus. Not for salvation, for sweet fellowship and renewal. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, though, Scripture says, come, everyone that thirsts, come. Come. If you're in here and you need to be saved, would you do that? If you're able to and you'd like to, would you stand together with me? And Brother Daniel's going to come and be at the front of the auditorium. If you're here and you're not sure you're saved, would you step out and come and let Him take a Bible and show you how to be sure the heaven's your home? My friend, it's the most important decision, bar none, that you'll ever make. Would you come to Jesus Christ? Maybe you're a backslidden Christian. You know Jesus is your Savior, but you know and He knows that you have not been living the life that God wants you to live. My friend, this is not the time to say, well, that's not anybody's business how I'm living. The Lord has gotten your number. Involved in activities you shouldn't be involved in, with people you shouldn't be involved in those activities with. Give it to God, my friend. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saved, but you've never been baptized, but you'd like to be sometime soon. We'd schedule really in a future service. We've got a couple that I'm going to mention today. They're going to join. Their Lord is leading them to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I'm very grateful for that. Maybe that's you as well. Another family, maybe you say, well, God's leading me. You'd like to come to Daniel and present yourself and say, I'd like to talk to somebody about joining. Then you feel free to come. If the Lord is leading you into life to do something, my friend, I mentioned already, don't push off those urges, those nudges, those leadings that the Lord gives in your life. Please, my friend, follow the Lord. Obey as He leads and guides. Thank you. You can look this way. What's a blessed day to be in church. I'm going to have, Daniel's going to come in a little bit, and we're going to sing as a going home song. The first verse of that song she's playing, there's a fountain. It was, I thought while we were singing just a little bit ago, I thought that was about the most beautiful thing I'd heard, our church just singing that song. There's a fountain filled with blood. Jesus shed His blood, the Bible teaches, for the remission of our sins. But we'll sing that as a going home song. But before that, I want to rejoice and bring to you the Burnett family, Brother Ron and Miss Jane Burnett, right over there. Ron, would you wave your hand there in the red shirt? Their boys, Bedford, Franklin, and Talmadge, they're saved and love the Lord. They've been a blessing. Very, very grateful for them. And I'm just tickled to death that the Lord brought them our way. But they feel led of the Lord that that He would have them join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And so I couldn't be happier about that. We would need a motion for that. All right, Brother Shad Teague makes that motion. All right, Brother Matthew Hensley seconds that motion. All in favor, say aye. Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. And then I'm very grateful as well for Brother Mike and Amy Rushing and their sons, Austin and Andrew, and fine young men, college students. But then Mike and Amy have been a great blessing. We got to meet with them for a long time the other day. And as well, love the Lord, saved, baptized, and the Lord has brought them our way. And so we would need a motion to receive them into membership. Brother Shannon Barker makes that motion. Brother Graham Foran seconds that motion. All in favor, say aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. And those are my kind of business meetings. We're thankful for that. And so I'm very grateful. Hope you'll get by and meet both of these families. And they are already a blessing to us. And I know they will be. And we want to be a blessing to them as pastor and church. And we're so thankful that God has brought them our way. Well, as I mentioned, we'll have Brother Daniel come and lead us in the first verse of that there is a fountain filled with blood. If you'd get the words back up there. And then Amy and I will be back in the lobby. If you'd like to buy one of our prayer books and you're just a few days behind, you can get started on that. She'll have some of those. But if you have some other need, then please stop by and see us. Hope you'll get by. And maybe Brother Daniel, after you're done, you can stand down here with Mike and Amy. Mike is shy, so he doesn't like to talk, I know. He's not. We were joking about that in the office the other day, but grateful for his family. Brother Ron, we'll get by to meet their family as well. But what a joy to be in church. And I hope that you will find a person or two that you really don't know quite who they are, and you'll introduce yourself to them. Now, don't ask, hey, is this your first time you've been here? Because they might say, I was here for the first time 30 years ago. So don't get yourself embarrassed, but just say, I don't know if I know you, and hope you get to meet one person at least that you don't know before you leave. So thank you so much.
Let's sing together.
There